ready to come in. Closed session is concluded, and we're going to go into open session. So we have item 12, which is the report. Any questions, comments?
I actually have a verbal update, if I may.
You got an update on the monthly report? Is that what this thing's called?
That is what that's for. But yes, okay. I do. You heard earlier this morning about that we're about to release the landowner letters in the Shasta. And those will be followed up by two workshops on August 21st up in probably Fort Jones. Excuse me, not Fort Jones, in Montague. There are a number of this is a major milestone in the implementation of our TMDL. We have identified about between 500 and 600 landowners who are contributing runoff through irrigated ag, and we're going to be contacting them. And the purpose of the workshop will be to once again explain, here's what was in the TMDL, and here's what the RCD will explain what they can do. And so to basically say, here's what you're supposed to do, landowners, and here are some people who have money. So here you can get signed up today with the RCD or with NRCS to help come up with a management plan for tailwater as well as for ranching. So we're just going to put everybody in one room and sort of move them from here's what you need to do to here are some people who can help you get it done, and we'll see how that goes. Regarding blue-green algae, we're fully coordinated at this point for responding and posting at both COPCO and Iron Gate. We've cleared the press release through everybody, including the tribes, including the statewide blue-green algae working group, as well as the language, slightly modified language that we have in our posting sign. Report back from this morning is that the levels are finally beginning to go up. They're late this year because of the smoke layer keeping temperatures down, but Susan Quorum reported to us today that there's scum beginning to form, so either in the next week or the week after that, we'll be up posting those two reservoirs again, and we'll have a press release ready to go. Some other things that are worth noting in terms of some sampling results, we have gotten back the trout samples and the bass samples from Dwinnell. This was from Baxter. I need staff to go back and verify the lab sheets and make sure that what is reported is as it should be, but tentatively it sounds as if they both came back as no detect, so both trout and the bass, which is good news. We also, then on the not-so-good news, found out that the mercury levels are of concern in the yellow perch in COPCO and in Iron Gate, and those perch are also, people at risk are eating those for microcystin. So we'll be covering that just sort of slightly in our posting sign. It really does belong to the health department, but we felt that we're basically putting out some language saying probably advise not to eat this in our posting. On the good news, then, Monterio Beach is no longer posted with an advisory against swimming. So after 3 weeks of being posted, the signs are down and the levels of bacteria are down. So that's good. Don't know why. Remains just a mystery as why it went up and why it went down again. Last item then is follow-up to the June-July fires. At this point, Forest Service seems to be handling their own assessments. They've got a pretty robust process for going in and assessing after fires. The state is in the process of trying to emulate that process, and Sacramento is busy writing up some procedures. From our end, David Hope, who is representing us in the statewide process, we're working to get with CAL FIRE to get flyovers of the burned area. Smoke has to kind of clear out a bit still for some of the areas. So we can do desktop assessments of where was burned and try to overlay, working with the county and Department of Health, where are there drinking water systems at risk, either individual or small communities, that we should be targeting first for any kind of protection against debris flows. And then the second priority would be to be looking for areas that we would consider to be critical habitat that we think are really important. So again, overlaying debris flows, damage with areas that we think are really important to prioritize the expenditure of resources to help rehabilitate those lands. So that's it. Anything else that the board would like to hear about?
Bill?
The petition that Felicia Pace brought regarding Duanel, where have we gone? Where are we going to go?
Well, we have back now the data, and I have asked staff to prepare a summary report summarizing the findings, and with that, we will probably send that to Felicia and share it also with the community and basically say, this is the end of this matter. Close the book.
That's the EO's report. We have future agenda items. Dave?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask that we have a staff report on our status of permitting dairy and confined animal spaces in Region 1. I started off the meeting today, ex parte communication. I had some talks with Farm Bureau folks and actually some of the Western Dairy folks, and I think they're receptive to this. I think the time's come. It was a part of our sediment work plan goals to do that, and I think that as far as I know, staff has at least roughed out a permit process here similar to at least some of the other regional boards, and I think it would be a good way to get the process started. I don't know if I need a resolution to do that, but you tell me.
Yeah, I suspect maybe just a report back from staff on as an update. It's if there's.
And actually, I have to say there's a representative of Western Dairy, United Dairymen, here today that has patiently waited through our whole process today. I don't know if you want to address the board or right. If that's an opportunity, but.
Again, we don't have anything in front of us, but if you want to make a comment, we're happy to hear you.
Hope this is on. Okay. Well, I'm Leslie Corp. I'm with Western United Dairymen. I'm a field rep in the area. And I would like to say that we do support staff. We're very willing to work with them. We do know that this is going to provide us a level of protection. And hopefully we can come out with a reasonable permit.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, several of us have discussed this in the last last week. Do we want to do anything with respect to the petitions which are now on the November ballot for the cities of Rohnert Park and though Petaluma is not within our region, they are marching forward to reduce the cost of sewer systems in those places. And it may not, and Jeff's looking at me like he's not 100% sure. They have put petitions on the ballot to roll back the sewer charges in those cities, and it would be disastrous in terms of the operation of cities. Is it the 1998 level?
Yes.
Yeah. Carol's very, very aware of this. I would propose that the EO give us perhaps a resolution, but something so that I will express my personal feeling that I think we need to make it abundantly clear to both these cities as well as the rest of the world that reducing your revenue is not in any way connected to the level that we will require a system to be operated at. We simply can't do that, and that passage of something such as this would be detrimental in the long run to your own entity.
Health and safety.
orderliness.
Yeah, orderliness. I think it's it goes back to, I thought about it a while. It's very much like 1978 with Proposition 13. The passage of it might not be necessarily rational. It's just a way to kick government in the slats. Under 218, that's what it is. I mean, it's a way to express anger, but the repercussions of it are immense. So under Proposition 218, they can petition to roll it back, and they have petitioned to roll it back. There is an election for the November ballot, and they would have to roll back the sewer charges, which is just, it's nuts. I mean, and what's important from our perspective is that, at least from my perspective, is that you don't, the fact that you want to roll back your payment for sewers does not mean that we are going to change the standards for sewers. Yeah, they would be, in my opinion. I mean, the next thing you do is fire the cops and sell the parks. That's what you do, but you're going to keep paying for that sewer.
I'll agree with that. I do want to say Prop 13, the prior 15 years, the rate of government spending went up at a rate that a lot of economists said was not sustainable, and it was changing the proportion of percentage of government to the overall economy. So I don't think it was unnatural that the citizens at some point drew a line. Now, whether they took a meat axe to deal with the real problem or not is something else, but there was an underlying reason for it, and mm-hmm. the expenditures were getting out of whack with the general economy. So if it hadn't been that, it would have been something else.
Yeah. The fact that I guess what I'm saying is that I'm fearful that much like Proposition 13, there may not be a rational reason for voting. It's just a chance to kick government where you wanted to, and that may well be the reaction that comes with these without really looking at the consequences.
Is there anybody that are outspoken against it publicly to explain what the potential repercussions?
Most city council members.
And I realize this is very far afield, but just, you know, the latest studies, and the governor may do it, but show public employee, because of the benefits, went up faster than the private sector the last 5 years. I'd predict there's another 5 years of that, and then the public's going to get mad at that.
So mm-hmm.
there'll be a tipping of the balance back probably in about another 5 years if it keeps at the current rate.
Anyway, Mr. Chair, I would suggest or request that the executive officer, at her discretion, bring us what for a discussion at the September meeting and possible passage at the September meeting of what she thinks would be appropriate. She will be meeting with several city people, so that may change the tenor of it.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I just had one idea to throw out, and I don't know, I don't want to burden staff, and I'm not sure we're ready. And it's the extremely, and it may not be susceptible to a general study session, but it's gravel and gravel extraction. And you run into, in the field, people say, well, Mad River Bridge. Caltrans says really one of the reasons they're rebuilding the whole bridge is gravel extraction lowered the bed and sloughing, scouring. In other areas, you have the lack of gravel extractions leading to rivers going over the banks. So this stuff is very complex. You obviously have different interests arguing different ways, but if staff believes we're going to get some gravel permits, I'd like just a study session on gravel extraction and the issues and how you analyze it and determine what its benefits are versus its negatives. And I see a lot in the wine country, you have the problem of rivers may skip their banks. If you don't extract it, you have other problems if you do extract it. So how to weigh that out instead of the, in a less emotional framework than an individual permit would be helpful. If it's possible, it may not be, I don't know. It's a very complex site-driven issue, but
if it goes in that direction, I volunteer my participation since that's my everyday field of expertise. So deal with these issues
You can maybe guide me on the right home.
Well,
and it goes well beyond site specific.
Yeah. So.
And I need to clean my office, and I have an awful lot of gravel paper that could just. I'll ship it off to McKinleyville. There you go.
Mr. Chairman,
a nice
for the Mad River Bridge, no doubt.
Is there a newest lawsuit on here? Well, I just wanted to. I'm not sure. Uh-oh. There's a lawsuit that should be on here that isn't. But we had a particularly...
Is that how you're shortening the list?
Well, maybe it's on here. We're being sued right now by the Environmental Law Foundation and Ed Voice. There were some Mercer Grazier gravel permits that came up, and it got controversial. And so regional board staff did do a full-scale investigation into, I'm sure you're familiar with CHRT, and really, really delved into that in the process of granting these new 5 enrollments. So we'd be happy to bring back what we found in that and then hear from the board whether you want some further inquiry. But it was something that we hadn't paid particularly close attention to, but we're actually surprised at how well the system worked that's in place right now for gravel extraction, at least in Humboldt and Mendocino County. And that was just on those permits, but generally there's a multi-agency group that engages in reviewing annually what gravel gets extracted. So we made all those mitigation measures enforceable conditions of our enrollment, just so you know. And they seem to be working well, but if Diana's not busy, maybe she can come back and... Yes. Maybe not next board meeting, but soon.
Well, I'm saying maybe I'm not setting any timeline. I'm professing ignorance in the subject matter area, saying that when it comes back for a permit, if there's any way to get pre-educated, that would be helpful to me as a board member.
You got a 3-hour ride.
I'm going to be so educated. I'm sorry I brought it up.
And I
John,
don't.
Could you tape that and send it to us?
Yeah, that would be my suggestion. Tape that, yeah.
I don't anticipate any gravel permits coming to the board.
Okay, well, then that, maybe it's not necessary.
All right. Anything else? I would just note for the schedule, after our October meeting, Weaverville, that following Monday, Tuesday, we're in Sacramento for the WQCC, October 27th, 28th. So that's it. We're done. We're out of here.
Before 3.